You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Bone-chilling stories are published regularly about government tax collectors. In the opinion of some, these revenue agents pounce upon unsuspecting citizens. As a result of these stories, tax collectors and revenue agents are often pictured as cold and heartless and utterly ruthless. In the Bible, we read about another tax collector. This man became a close friend of Jesus. His name was Matthew. His profession was one of the most hated and despised government jobs of his generation. No wonder the people of that day were shocked when Jesus called this hated man to follow him. This striking Bible story, even today, goes against many of our phony religious standards and militates against much of our self-righteous thinking. This unsettling biblical episode properly and powerfully portrays Jesus not as the dean and leader of the self-righteous, but as the loving Savior, as one accepting all sinners, one who assures the troubled and all those willing to admit and confess their sin before a loving and a gracious God. Oh, may the riches of God's kindness in Jesus Christ and His forbearance and God's patience lead every one of us to sincere repentance. With true sorrow for our sins and with a faith worked in our hearts by God the Holy Spirit, may you and I always focus our eyes on the blessed Redeemer. He is our helper. Jesus is our refuge. He is the one who washes sinners clean from the guilt of sin and gives them a new start in this life. Oh, how important this is as we begin this new year of 1985. Our past is gone. In Jesus Christ, you can start over with a new slate. Now notice this. Without reservation or interrogation, Jesus accepts the weary. He welcomes the depressed, and He graciously summons to Himself the helpless and the friendless. Surely the blessed hymn writer had also experienced the trials and sorrows of life when he wrote, "What a friend we have in Jesus. We should never be discouraged. Jesus knows our every weakness." Your troubled heart at this hour may deeply desire the blessed peace that only the Savior from sin can give. And yet you may feel troubled and unworthy to seek total forgiveness. In your mind you may be thinking, "How can I ever approach a holy God?" Then, too, the devil constantly digs up secret sins of your past. But listen, if you feel unqualified to be with Jesus, then look once again at Matthew, the tax collector. In Matthew's day, Palestine, which is often spoken of today as the Holy Land, was ruled by a foreign power. Roman troops were stationed in that area of the world in order to keep the small Jewish nation under Roman control. Consequently, the Romans had also instituted a system for collecting taxes. These despised Romans occupying Palestine hired local Jews, if you will, to collect revenue from their own oppressed people. Hearing this situation vividly described, one can almost feel the terrible animosity and hatred of the Jews toward the Romans. Now just imagine, to begin with, the local Jewish population utterly despised the Romans for occupying their land, and they had reason to do so. Secondly, these Jews were forced to pay burdensome taxes to a foreign government they so vehemently hated. And now to add insult to injury, one of their own, Matthew by name, had actually become a traitor. Matthew, you see, was taking money from his own helpless people and giving it to a government of ruthless foreign occupiers. One biblical scholar points out that tax collectors such as Matthew, and I quote, were detested everywhere and were classed as the vilest of men. When a Jew became a tax collector, he was regarded as an outcast from society. He was disqualified as a judge, and he was prevented from being a witness and was actually excommunicated from the court session. In the eyes of the Jewish community, men like Matthew were a disgrace to their entire family. And that was only the beginning. A brilliant Jewish scholar, Alfred Edersheim, writes, Matthew was not only a tax collector, he was one of the very worst kind. His group, which had a special name, had a reputation of overcharging, gouging, and inventing special taxes. These ruthless revenue agents not only taxed the goods of the traveling poor, but they also taxed the pack animals. They taxed the wagons. They taxed the axles. And if you can imagine, they even taxed the wheels. These ruthless tax agents had a reputation of forcing travelers to unload all their pack animals. Every bale and package was opened, contents tumbled out, private letters were opened, and no one could do a thing. Is it any wonder, then, that the group to which Matthew belonged was considered a criminal race? No one could sink any lower. Now, with the terrible reputation of Matthew in mind, watch what happens. The question is this: will Jesus accept him or won't he? I am reading from the Gospel of Mark chapter 2, and I quote, And Jesus went out again by the seashore, and all the multitudes, the crowds, were coming to him. Jesus was teaching them. And as Jesus passed by, he saw Levi, Matthew, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax office. And Jesus said to Matthew, Follow me. Without hesitation, and without question, Matthew arose and followed Jesus. Amazing, isn't it? Absolutely stunning. Here is the sinless Son of God, the righteous one, calling Matthew, the vilest of sinners, to follow him. Oh no, Jesus did not question Matthew. No, Jesus did not first interrogate Matthew. Jesus did not tell Matthew, Now get your life straightened out and then follow me. The Savior knew that if the sin-filled Matthew followed him, then sin-filled Matthew would be changed, not by his own power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Matthew would be powerfully transformed. He would be cleansed. He would be healed, strengthened, and given a new life and a new hope by the Savior. The convicting and life-giving Spirit was working on Matthew's soul. Oh, Jesus had come for Matthew just as he comes for all sinners, even today. St. John, in his Gospel, quotes the beautiful words of Jesus when he states, For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. Every story in the Bible is recorded for your benefit and blessing, and also for mine. And so these stories, these promises of God, give us hope. Matthew the tax collector is a powerful and positive example for us. Even in our days of helplessness, and even in our days of hopelessness and despair, the example of Matthew gives us hope. Some religious groups I know wrongly demand that you must first get your life straightened out and then you come to God. But the Bible teaches otherwise. You come to Jesus just as you are. Jesus said, He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And then when you come to Jesus, Jesus will heal you. You see, look at it this way. People who are sick do not first get themselves well and then go to the doctor. They go to the doctor in order to get healed. In the same way, with all your mistakes and doubts and fears, turn today to the divine physician, the merciful healer of body and soul, and he and Jesus will accept you just as you are. When a farmer plants seeds in the field, by themselves these seeds are helpless and they can never grow. But when the rain comes down from the heavens, the seed is given life. It sprouts and it grows. It eventually bears fruit. In the same way, by ourselves, like the seeds, you and I are spiritually helpless. In fact, in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, we learn that we are, and I quote, dead in our trespasses and sins. Then, however, the powerful, life-giving Word of God comes along. The Word, the living Word, enters our ears when we hear the Gospel preached. The living Word enters our eyes when we read the Scriptures. Faith is thus planted, watered, and grows even in our hearts. The Gospel we read, the Gospel we hear, testifies to the living Lord Jesus Christ. It is no wonder, then, that St. Paul writes, For if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Isn't this what you want for your life in 1985? Yes, the Holy Scriptures teach that man is born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Again, the Scriptures tell us that in Christ, we have a new and beautiful relationship with our God, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, God has saved us by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, during these next days and weeks, thousands of New Year's resolutions will certainly be made. Very few, however, are going to be kept. You and I may sincerely determine to live a new life. We may earnestly desire to avoid repeating mistakes of 1984. And yet, due to our sin-corrupted nature, our very inner nature which controls us, trying to change ourselves by our own power will certainly prove to be a miserable failure. Honesty must cause us to declare with St. Paul, "The good that we wish, we do not do, but we practice the very evil that we do not wish." "O wretched man that I am," exclaimed St. Paul, "who will ever set me free from this body of death?" Now you at this hour, as you begin 1985, you may feel the same way. So many problems are facing you. So many frustrations block you every day wherever you are, at home or at work. Everything seems to be going wrong in your family. "Who," you say, "is ever going to set me free from this terrible mess?" The Scriptures say this, my friend: your freedom from sin, your freedom from despair, your freedom from death itself is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle John writes the words of Jesus: "If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." The Lord Jesus Christ transformed Matthew, the sin-filled tax collector. Jesus did not condemn him. And now listen to this: neither does the beautiful Savior condemn you. He wants to transform you and change you into something good. Your sins were paid for on the crucifixion cross of Calvary. And when Jesus died on the cross, the Heavenly Father saw His suffering and accepted it as a full payment for your sins. Oh, leave your terrible sins nailed to that cross and look ahead for a new life this coming year. By faith, follow the Blessed Redeemer. And if you make any resolutions whatsoever, then resolve by the power of God to spend more time reading the Bible, the Word of God. This will prove to be a lamp for your feet and a light for your path in the coming year. Get to know who Jesus really is. The Holy Scriptures have been written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing in Him, you might have life in His name. Attend a church regularly where the Word of God is preached, and just as the rain comes down to refresh and give strength to the trees and the grass, so also let the preached Word fall on your open ears and let it plant and water saving faith in your heart. Your failures during 1984 may have been many. Your regrets may be torturing your mind at this hour. But it is not too late to begin on a new path of certain hope and joy. Don't give in to temptations, and don't blindly follow your emotions. Like Matthew, rather, in faith, respond to the loving words of Jesus as He says to you at this hour, "Follow Me." Jesus is speaking to you when He says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of My hand." God grant this unto you in 1985, for Jesus' sake. Amen.